All right, so good to be here. Good to be at the Combine with the staff in place, head coach in place. Excited, been fun to watch Frank this last 2 weeks, put his staff together, really take his time. He really talked a lot about fit and finding teachers. And you can see we delved into the college ranks, and he did. And I thought he came away with some really good coaches for our staff to develop our players. Saying that, time's yours. And
Frank mentioned that you guys have, speaking of Frank, you told Frank Gore that you're going to move on. How did that conversation go, and what was it?
So y'all know my thoughts on Frank Gore. I mean, Hall of Fame back, passionate. He is, just in three years, even though most of his career is in San Francisco, his 3 years, he's left an impact on the locker room and people like I don't know if I've seen another player do. And I'm going to give you a quick story about Frank. So we're playing the Buffalo game where he had all the carries. What did he have, 28, 30 carries? And he, after the game, he had broke his thumb. And they had said, well, you know, you can do surgery, just put a little pin in, get it right. And we're playing Thursday night against Denver. And Frank, I go to Frank after the game, hey, man, I'm a football player. I'm playing. I mean, you think what the record was at the time. I mean, that's the epitome of Frank Gore. But we did. We had a discussion. We had it multiple times during the season. Frank knows that, you know, we're at a point where we need to get younger. And look, I want to give Frank a chance to go see what's out there and see if he finishes in a place where he wants to finish it. I have nothing but he's a Hall of Fame player in my mind, without question, a first ballot Hall of Fame player. He's very honest. He likes it when you're honest with him, and we had a good discussion.
On the other guys, without going down everywhere, would you like to still re-sign Melvin and maybe Moncrief? How have your discussions came out on those other 150 guys?
I think you'd like to re-sign every guy. Yeah, but we know that's not realistic. So what we'll do is we'll wait and we'll have some discussions, you know, getting the staff in place, letting them evaluate. They're getting caught up right now evaluating the roster. And then we'll have some more discussions during the combine and after the combine. And then we'll see where it takes us.
Andrew is coming back and he'll be with the team that first week of April. When he gets back to Indianapolis, what do you all need to see him do on the field here to know he's progressing?
I think we need to see Andrew just get back into football and being with his teammates again. I think Andrew's going to tell you the same thing. I think that's important. The one thing we will not do with Andrew is we will not skip a step. Every step that he's taking right now has a purpose behind it. And we feel good about where he's at right now. Even though he hadn't picked up a football right now, he's doing some things that's showing us that he is where he is. And he's going in the right direction. As for how we're going to gauge it, I think we just kind of day by day where he's at and go from there. Do I have any doubt that he's going to be ready? No, I don't.
Hey, Chris, you say you take it step by step with Andrew. When is that step where he throws the football? I mean, because the reality is the question is going to be there until Andrew starts to throw. So when is that step?
Yeah, I think we'll get there during April and May to where we're all seeing the progress that we want to see. And I don't see any, talking to him and talking to the doctors, we've all ruled out surgery. Everybody's ruled out surgery. I know there's still reports out there that we've all ruled that out. I think it's just to the point where we make sure, you got to remember now, he played for 2 years, banged up, and then he had this whole year off. So taking a year where you're not every day working the motion, it takes time to get back. When is that point? I wish I could put a timeline. I mean, I wish I could give you a date and say, all right, here's the drop-down date. It's just, can't do it. I know this. I believe in the kid. I believe in where he's at mentally, and he's going to do some really good things going forward, and he's in a good place.
Chris, what's up? With Frank Gore, with no Frank Gore, what does that mean to Marlon Mack and his usage going forward? And how do you plan on addressing the draft?
Well, we think the draft is good. We kept Matt Jones around for a reason. We think Matt Jones has got potential. We thought really at the end of the year, during practice, Matt Jones was coming on really well. So we like what he has. And then we got Ferguson, who can be a mismatch back. So we think we have three options on the team that are pretty good, and we'll see how the draft and free agency works out. So I think there's some I think there's some pretty good offensive linemen. I think there's some good depth, especially in the interior of the offensive line. I think there's good depth. I think at running back, you're going to see at all levels that you're going to have some high-end players, and then I think you're still going to see some really good players at the running back position come out of this draft, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. So there's a lot of depth at both the O-line and running back. And look, the middle of the draft for defensive linemen is good too. We're going to – look, you never – I learned early. If you think a guy's got a chance to be a difference maker at any position, doesn't matter, you take him. You take him.
Chris, you always talk about, raising your own and that kind of thing. Is Rashawn Melvin one of your own, so to speak? Not a guy that you already drafted, but you kind of seen him make a run here.
Good point. No, look, you'd like to get it to where – you're going to your guys after their third year and going to them early and then extending them where they never actually hit free agency. When they actually get to a point where they hit free agency, well, then you got to let the market play out. Then you got to determine, is he within our price range of where we see his value?
So you, it sounds like you'll let that play out.
That's right. We'll let it play out. People don't let them out. They just don't. They don't let them out of their building. It's hard to find guys in free agency because they don't let them out of their building. I mean, in Chicago we got lucky when we got Julius Peppers. I mean, that was kind of a unique situation where they had tagged him a couple times. He was 30 years old. Julius can still play. But that was a unique situation. But I think you can just look through the league. See, guys, you've got to draft and develop your own guys. The good thing about it is they come from all levels. They do. I don't think you just have to take a first-round guy to get a pass rusher. I'm excited about the defense we're going to run and excited about our D-line coach, Mike Fair, who's trained under Rod Marinelli, who's trained rushers and been around it. So that's good.
As you look at this, Chris, the way you continue to talk about building through the draft, are you one that says – you would be open to trade back to get more stocks and get more draft picks? What's your mind frame when it comes to the draft?
I think you got to weigh it, versus what you're going to, the player you might take or the players you might take versus the picks you're going to acquire and who's going to be there. So, I mean, if you trade back and you say, well, look, there's only 15 or 16 first round players, actual first round players, is it worth trading back for these extra picks? And then the player you're going to take, is he a difference maker to where it matter if you this one guy is going to make that much of a difference for our football team versus three guys? I mean, I think you just got to weigh it. Are we always open? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, we'll always do the best thing at the moment, and we'll do the best thing for the team.
With that in mind, being number three and given everybody behind you knows you have Andrew Luck, I mean, are you thinking that you could be sitting in a bidding war position?
Well, it's too early to say that, and you don't know what's going to happen at 1 and 2. And then you got to know, how does everybody else view the quarterbacks that are in this draft? Do we think we're in a pretty good spot? Yes.
Chris, the media and the fans perhaps want an update every second on Andrew. How often do you get your updates, and from where do those come
from?
About Andrew.
Yeah, come from Andrew and the people he's working with. And I would say every pretty regularly. Let me put it that way.
How do you view the state of the wide receiver position on your roster and this guy like T.Y. who needs some help out there?
Well, look, I mean, Moncrief's a free agent. And is it a position where you have some unproven guys? Yes. But look, we have Chester, who we thought, was nicked up last year, but we think he's got a chance to really ascend. He's going in his third year. He's done a great job this offseason working on his body. But it's always going to be, I think at the wide receiver position, especially, you know, listening to Jacoby and Andrew talk, and then listening to Frank and what they want, it'll be a position that we will, that we'll be looking.
The return of Andrew Luck, what would that do for this franchise morale-wise? He missed so much time last season and then left the team. What would it be just to have him back in the complex daily with this team?
Funny you ask that, because I've preached since I've walked in the door, it's not about one guy. And I thought there was times last year that we were just almost everybody, I think we all were, everybody's just waiting for this savior to come ride in on a white horse and save the day. And I think everybody got to a realization. It's one thing I was really proud of our team last year for they just played. And were we the best team? No. But they just played and they battled. And I think once they saw, hey, this is what it is. This is where we're at and what it is. They just played. Is it going to help having him back in the building? Absolutely it is. And I don't think it's just going to help them. I think it's going to help Andrew. I think it's going to be good for Andrew to be back around his teammates. I think that's what he wants. I think that's what he misses. I think he misses being around the locker room, being around his guys. It's one of the I said a while ago, it's one of the special things about this kid. He doesn't seem, he likes to be considered as one of the teammates. The only other player I've ever been around like that is Urlacher. Brian Urlacher, superstar Brian. He was just one of the guys, you know, and he didn't ever want to be treated differently. And he knew his status, but he never acted in that way. You never would have known. So in terms of him being back, yeah, I think it'll be good for the organization, good for the team, good for the locker room, and good for Andrew.
Chris, talk about wide receivers. Is there a prototype receiver for Frank's offense?
Yeah, when it gets open. we're still talking to it. We had about a 3-hour meeting on Monday once he got the staff in place, and it was all about kind of the prototypes of what they're looking for. So we're still working through that. I don't know. I think it's too early to tell because, I mean, look, I mean, there's guys in last year's draft taken in the third or fourth round that ended up being really great players. I don't think you really know that. I think people tag them as trans, but it doesn't always work out that way. So I don't want to give a number on that.
No one.
Good player. I mean, we're all watching the same TV. I mean, the guy's a good player. He's a good player.
Chris, last question. Do you think Clayton Gathers is a guy that could be an every-down linebacker as you transition and try to get more and more speed on the field?
No, we haven't. Look, we like him at strong safety. And am I saying, will he play in the box some and could? Yeah, he could. But, you know, Clayton's a good player. He's a good strong safety.
Chris, it's kind of obvious we're not winning you over on Andrew Bain. That's what you're saying. But at the same time, you said people were waiting for that savior to come through. They were also waiting for that player to make a play or two in the second half that would have won some games.
Yeah.
Isn't that still what he brings?
Yeah.
Because he's going to make the six or seven plays.
And he needs guys around him. I mean, look, one of the things I think we really need is some difference makers. Some guys that in crunch time situations, guys on third down, both – to make a play in the passing game, to rush the passer. We need some difference maker players to make those game winning plays. And if you don't, that's why the third pick in the draft is important, because we do think there's some difference maker players in that area. But saying that, I mean, I think it's been proven over time that you can find those type of guys all through the draft.